All right, everyone. I think we're going to get started. It's just a few minutes after 12:30. This is Neil Weissman. I'm a cardiologist from Washington, D.C., and the past president of the American Society of Echo. And I want to welcome you and thank you for taking some time this afternoon to take part in this WebEx. I am joined today by Carol Mitchell. Carol is the current chair of the Council of Cardiovascular Sonography. And Carol, a brief bio, did her undergraduate degree at University of Iowa and her both master's and her PhD work at the University of Missouri. Carol is an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin, where she has a broad array of research interests and has had a number of roles, and it's perfect for us to be doing this together because she, in addition to being the current chair on the Council of Cardiovascular Sonography, she currently chairs the awards committee. She's been on the board of directors for a term 2009 to 2012, and now also serving in a number of other committees. What we want to do today is really talk about, as the title says, pathways to ASE leadership, particularly for sonographers. There's a number of governance changes that we're going to go through. And these governance changes really open up the possibility for sonographers to get involved in ways that were not as apparent in the past. So we want to bring it forward, share the information, and answer any questions that people have. So we're gonna get started. We have a number of people on the line, and I would ask you to mute your line. If your phone doesn't have a mute button, use star 6, and that will take care of it. Ah, seems to work. I hear all the star 6s clicking away. I love it. So it's always good whenever you're talking about an organization and governance to step back and look at what is the reason that ASE exists. What is our mission? And if you just focus on the bottom there, you'll notice that we are all about the field of cardiovascular ultrasound. And that means that we're content-focused, not constituency-focused. You know, if you've got a trade union or an organization that's made up of one type of employee, that organization is there to represent that type of employee. That's not the case with ASE. We're here for the field of cardiovascular ultrasound and how can we move the field forward to better the field for our patients. That means that our constituents are very broad, and we have a couple of them listed there, but it's continuing to expand. And as we talk about governance, we want to make sure we stay content-focused and represent all our constituents, including as our constituency changes over time. So, by way of background, in June of 2015, a little over a year ago, ASE had completed its next phase of strategic planning. So we go through a strategic planning episode every couple of years, and the goal of strategic planning is to say, where is the organization going and what do we need to do over the next couple of years? Well, one of the goals that the board set was to create a governance structure that's representative of our membership and supports an efficient and effective organization. So to enact and figure out how to do that, there was a governance task force that was formulated, and this governance task force looked at a number of different pieces of information, historic and current. To get some more current information, we did a survey of our members, and that survey happened in the spring of 2016, and it had questions about the current makeup of the board and governance. What people wanted was a more proactive, diversified, and more specialty representation, and they also wanted to make sure that we're including the newer generations of members, not to just have the people that have been in the organization for a long time. So the governance task force, after looking at all these different pieces of information, came back with a couple of recommendations, and these recommendations were approved just a couple of months ago at the June board meeting. While the recommendations are long, we narrowed it down to four major areas. One was that ASC, if you look at kind of the decision-making process from day to day, it is often the executive committee. It's a half dozen people that are in the presidential ladder, plus a couple of others like secretary and treasurer and the representative for the councils. But that group is often making decisions, and they wanted the board to be more engaged, more active. So to do that, we developed a five-year plan that makes the board a more manageable size, that the board could get together on a more regular basis, be more active, more engaged, and more effective. We also developed a leadership training program because to get the next generation involved, we want to make sure there's a way to support them to the leadership. And for people that just came on, if you could mute your line, that would be great. And if you don't have a mute button, hit star 6 so we don't hear all the background. So, again, mute your line would be great. Now make the board more effective, a leadership training program, and to reframe the board nomination process so it's more open to everyone and more transparent. Lastly, we wanted to give as many people an opportunity to be on the board as possible. Right now we have 3-year terms, so we're going to 2-year terms. But we sort of struggled with this a little bit because we recognized that being on the board and having some historic knowledge is good. So for exceptional service, we will allow people to get re-nominated for an additional 2 years, just so there would be some mix. As people on the call probably know, the ASC was founded, and the stenographers were a major part in creating this organization and founding it. So there was discussion, and while all positions are moving to open positions, to open to everyone, it was felt to make sure that there's always a position on the executive committee that is guaranteed for a stenographer. So that was adopted, and the executive, the secretary position on the executive committee is that position. Other than that, there are not any positions that are designated for a physician, a stenographer, and any type of person. So all the other positions are open to stenographers. All the leadership ladder, vice president, president-elect president, the treasurer, the members at large, international members, and so forth. And by all means, as we create the Leadership Academy, we will be soliciting and asking for help in identifying stenographers that are interested. So that brings us to how to get involved. And I've been talking a little bit too long already. So Carol, do you mind jumping in here?
I will jump in here. So how to get involved, and one of the first steps is really to work towards achieving your fellowship in the American Society of Echocardiography. And this is a credential that's required to become a chair and a co-chair for ASC's committees. Also, there are opportunities through our volunteer online forms to be able to serve in other committees and task forces, council steering committees, mission trips, micro-volunteering opportunities, and ASC representation on other societies, credential organizations such as JRC, CVT, JRC, DMS, which are the accrediting bodies for our ultrasound education programs, ARDMS and CCI, which are credentialing organizations, and then also legislative and regulatory committees as well. For the Fellow of the American Society, or FACE designation, this recognizes echo practitioners of all specialty types who demonstrate proficiency and dedication to the field of cardiovascular ultrasound. And through our ASC website, there's a link that will take you to FACE, and there's a wonderful document that allows you to look at really what's required as far as the application process, deadlines for applying for FACE, and also some general FAQs about the procedure and how points are awarded to receive the FACE recognition. So that FACE criteria for stenographers are that you have to be an active member with at least 2 previous and current years of membership in ASC, proof of maintenance of stenographer credentials for the previous 5 years, 15 hours of echo-related CME in the past 3 years, and a copy of up-to-date CV or resume, 3 letters of support that outline how you as the applicant fulfill the FACE criteria, and the categories that we look at are education, research, and or leadership and volunteerism. And then there's a checklist for you to complete to make sure that you're submitting all the materials you need for your application and an application fee. And the link to the FACE page is provided there for you. As far as committee work, ASC really depends on its members to get involved and advance our mission. And volunteers serve on committees, councils, and task force, writing groups, missions, etc., that lead the society and will affect the profession. Our volunteers help set standards, develop educational products, create courses, direct subspecialty activities, advocate for ECHO on the federal and state levels, and many more. And some of the opportunities that I've received through ASE have been so rewarding. I've gotten to work on new educational products. I've gotten to work and serve as liaison to other societies for ASE. And it's really helped me grow as a professional and really be able to give back to both my work environment and also the society. And ASC has over 300 volunteers who serve on committees, task forces, councils, and the board each year.
It probably helps if I take it off mute, right?
Sorry.
That's great. So there is a lot of background noise. I know everyone's calling in from their clinical site. Again, please put your phone on mute, and if you don't have a mute button, hit *6, and that will take care of it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about committees, because committees are the way for many people to get involved in ASE. There are a lot of committees, and we need a number of different members, and it's a great entry port for people to be involved. It's also, the truth of the matter, that's where most of the work for ASE happens. So again, committees to me are a place, if you haven't yet gotten involved, it's the place that I would look as a starting place. So there's a number of different committees and I'll show you a list in just a moment, that are open. And we do a process each year to say who's interested. Sonographers are welcome and encouraged to take part in all the committees. Almost all the committees are open to general membership, all volunteers. There are a couple, though, that you need special experience, and they're listed there. The Awards Committee, Nominating Committee, and clearly International Relations. You've got to be an international member. But if you're a sonographer on the line from one of our international partners, you'd be open to that. So here's the list. So you could see it's just in alphabetical order from advocacy down to foundations and then continues from guidelines to scientific sessions. And it's a very, very broad array of committees. What I would recommend is you just take a look, and these are on the website, and you say, what would I be interested in? Membership, a good one that, since we're all members, we all have experience there. But again, if you're in a research environment and active in research, you might want to be involved in the research committee. Obviously, by virtue of what the committee does, some of the ones require experience. So if you never did any research, you obviously wouldn't apply to the research committee, but pick what makes sense. These committees rotate. Typically, they're up to a three-year appointment, so one-third of the membership is rotating each year. So what is the criteria? Well, you have to be a member of ASE, and your membership has to be up to date. There is an electronic application, and I'll show you a screenshot in just a moment. That is during the winter, from November to January, that's open. If you haven't previously served on any committee, when you submit, you want to give your resume or CV and some letter of reference. And we also encourage, if you have served on a committee and you're rotating off, please go online and let us know what other committees you want to serve on. Now, the good news about our volunteer program and the committees is that it has become more popular. The word has gotten out, and people are going online and putting their name up there. The bad news is we now get more volunteers than we can have open slots. So what happens is that we give preference to people that have become FASC. And that's why when Carol was going over the FASE, it's really, that's an important step. I would highly encourage people to consider it, look at it. It's not that onerous to do, and it does give you a leg up in getting onto some of these committees. We do require FASE if you're going to become a chair or co-chair of a committee, getting on the board and so forth. So this is what the website looks like. Again, this is open from November to January, and it's very simple. Pull-down menus, what do you want to do? Here's the timeline. That website is open November to January. Then the president-elect sits with the staff in Raleigh, and they go over all the open positions and all the people that have volunteered and essentially play matchmaker. Okay, this person wanted that, we could do that. And you're sort of moving the pieces around to try to get as many volunteers, people that wanted to do it, onto the committees that they can do it. You'll get a letter in April inviting you to take part. You accept or decline that invitation. You fill out an online form, and then you start attending the committee in June. So what does it mean to be a committee member? Well, the most effective committee members are those that are willing to be at the face-to-face meeting. While we give a call-in option for that, it definitely helps to start your committee tenure face-to-face. You get a better sense of what's going on. You could ask questions. You could have the conversations before and after the meeting. And you could show your interest and enthusiasm. The best committee member is one that's engaged, that takes part in the meetings, asks questions, makes comments, and as there's things that need to be done between meetings, volunteers to do it. There is, just a full disclosure, there's no financial support, so this is a volunteer position, so that face-to-face would be if you're coming to the June meeting anyway. Most of the other meetings are conference calls other than that June meeting. The other big entry point is the councils, and I think, Carol, since you're the chair of the Sonography Council, I think you should take it from
here.
Sure.
So there are four councils at ASC, and that's the Council on Cardiovascular Sonography, the Council on Pediatric and Congenital Heart Disease, the Council on Perioperative Echocardiography, and the Council on Vascular Ultrasound. And each council has its own
invitation.
Steering committee that oversees the business and the interests of each specialty area or council, and each council has its own chair, vice chair, and members at large positions that are elected by the councils. An announcement of call for council positions are posted via Connect at ASE, and members interested in serving as a council leader can contact Natalia Reed, and her email is at the bottom of the slide. So to join a council, what you need to do is update your member profile on the ASE member profile form by selecting one or all four councils that are your area of interest, and then that will allow you to start getting information from those councils. Other volunteer opportunities include task forces, and task forces are created when there are short-term projects that are needed for special or focused attention. And some examples are the Governance Task Force, Training and Certification Task Force, Workflow and Lab Management Task Forces. And mentorship is designated by the ASE president, and usually members are already serving on a committee, council, or board to be invited to participate in task forces. So most task forces have one-year terms for completion of the project. Other volunteer opportunities include writing groups, and these groups are responsible for developing ASE guidelines and standard documents. The Guidelines and Standards Committee is responsible for guiding topics, designating the membership of the group, and review of all guidelines and documents in process. An example is provided here on the right side of the slide, which is the guidelines for the use of echocardiography in the evaluation of a cardiac source of embolism, which is one of our more recent guideline documents. There are also other opportunities, which are micro-volunteering opportunities. And again, as Dr. Wiseman said, the great news is we have a lot of people who want to volunteer for the society. The problem is we can't always offer placement. And so one of the things that we do is if you aren't selected to be on a committee is we try to keep you on a list to form an advisory group, and these members are then called upon to help us with special projects. And examples might be volunteer for service outside of the committee or task force areas, such as helping with survey development, educational products, or advocacy and grassroots efforts. And these types of volunteer services are recorded as member service, and they'll count towards fulfilling the leadership professional category for your FACE application. And an example on this slide is just showing why we want to create micro-volunteering opportunities and give all of our members opportunity to participate in ASE. As Dr. Wiseman said, we have a large number of applications received, but we can only place so many people on our current standing committees. So if you just look, this slide kind of shows historically from 2011 to 2016 the number of applications we've received and the number of members we've been able to place.
And I think just going back to this one, again, the FASEs almost always get placed, and it's the non-FASEs that it varies quite a bit from year to year. So, you know, in addition to committees and councils, the missions have ended up being a great venue to get involved in the society. So, the foundation, the ASC Foundation, is sort of our philanthropy arm of ASC, raises money and helps organize a number of missions. They accept volunteer applications for these global health initiatives and the humanitarian missions around the world. And for these things, both physicians and sonographers are needed. Obviously, there are some special requirements, like the mission going to Cuba, you have to speak Spanish. But for the most part, there aren't any special requirements. The foundation raises the money to help with it and seeks volunteers. They work in conjunction with local foundations or organizations, and they support a lot of the local expense, but they're not supporting usually the travel itself. So people do, when they volunteer, have to cover the travel. But they're really a great, great initiative. Here's a article that Janie Cleave from Duke wrote, and this was about 2 years ago, about her experience in Rwanda and in India. And it's a great piece and serves as an example, really, for how this could be a meaningful experience for an individual and a really meaningful activity for us together as a society. Janie's from Duke, and I know the Duke group is listening on the line here, and it's not a coincidence that she's from Duke, because David Adams has really been the leader and has helped set the organization in this direction to make missions a part of what we do. In his honor, there was an award that was founded, the Adams Global Service Award, which will support a sonographer travel grant for someone who's doing a mission for the first time. So again, if you haven't done these missions, you're looking to get involved in ASC, and you think a mission might be something you're interested in, it's a great experience and is a great entry point. So please consider it. So let's now talk about the board, because everything we've talked about up to here has been kind of how to get involved and how to get your foot in the door. Work on a committee, join the council, get involved in the council, do a mission. Once you get experience, then you could start really thinking about getting onto the board and then eventually leadership. So let's dive into that. Carol, you've been on the board now two different terms, so maybe you could lead us through some of these slides.
Sure. So all active ASC members who meet outline criteria for the officers and directors are eligible for any position, including now the ladder to presidency. So this is really an exciting time for sonographers, because we are able, as a sonographer, to actually move into any of the board of director positions now. And the key is, for any organization, is that we want qualified members who can broadly represent ASC's membership and goals and the mission of the organization, and have kind of that vision that matches with the strategic plan to move into these leadership positions. And as the ASCE Board of Directors, the elected positions that we have are the Vice President, which is a one-year term, the Secretary, a two-year term, which again is reserved for a sonographer, the Treasurer, which is a three-year term, Council Representatives, which is a two-year term, the Members at Large is a two-year term, the International Board Member is a two-year term, past president is a two-year term, and the Leadership Academy board member will be a one-year maximum term once the academy is established. And again, this is our goal, is to develop a Leadership Academy to provide leadership experience for individuals in ASCE and to move into leadership positions then. So with the Leadership Academy, again, the goal is really to foster young leaders and provide a pathway to ASCE's Board of Directors. And this will be an opportunity for sonographers, which is also exciting. And ASCE anticipates having the Academy and graduates by the year 2021. So the positions that are going to be open for June of 2017 are the Vice President, which is a one-year term, the Secretary, which is a two-year term, one member at large position, one international board member position, a past president position, and the deadline for submission of complete nomination packages is October 21st. And one of the things I want to comment on here is when we're thinking about who are good members to be on these board of director positions, really what we're looking for, what any organization wants to look for, are board members who have special expertise, unique skill set, prior work experience, clinical and or research, good networking skills, professional connections, and also those that are able to really work as a team. So they have to have really good teamwork skills to help the board create and develop and meet its goals and mission statements. So criteria for board candidates are that you must be an active ASCE member and be a fellow of the American Society of Echocardiography. You should have accomplishments in the field, and those can include but are not limited to service to the society and respect and reputation in the profession, previous service on ASCE committees, councils, or task force, and preferably having had chairing experience of these positions. Additional disclosures are required for board members. And those are: the directors must agree that they will not participate in paid consultancy positions with commercial entities relative to the cardiovascular field, especially examples would be device and pharmaceutical companies or for-profit educational bodies such as cardiovascular web businesses, etc. Royalties from published education materials are allowed, and unpaid volunteer services, as outlined in the statement above, is also acceptable. Directors also must declare any volunteer roles with other associations, societies, or cardiovascular-related organizations where, again, their cardiovascular expertise is being utilized. The time commitment for a board of director member is that you must attend the board of directors meeting and strategic planning session in February. All nominees for the proposed slate of officer and director's election in June are invited to attend to be familiar with the strategic plan and goals, and that's usually a two-day event. Then we have the June board meeting at the ASCE Scientific Sessions, a November board meeting, and that's usually also a two-day event. Participation in any specialty called meetings to, again, review whatever our new initiatives are or what new goals or strategic plans we may be assigning or new task forces. Required review and voting on ASCE guidelines, and that occurs about 3 to 6 times per year. And ASCE will cover travel, lodging, and meal reimbursement to attend the February board meeting and the strategic planning session and the November board meeting. But all other meeting travel is not covered. And criteria used to select candidates to be a board of director are: candidates need to be respected in the profession, they should be strategic thinkers, have the time, dedication, and financial ability to serve. Candidates should be well-versed in ASCE history and organizational knowledge. And candidates need to be, again, committed really to be an effective board leader and board member. And what that means is when you are assigned a task, you need to be able to follow through with it and meet deadlines. Candidates also need to be committed to the strategic planning process and understand the ASC's missions and goals. And candidates need to broadly represent the ASC membership. And really, for any organization to stay healthy, the board does need to change to keep up with its membership and then also the goals of the organization.
You know, one of the things, as I'm listening to you, Carol, is I think what you're describing is what we require now and how the board is composed now. I think that commitment is obviously always going to be there because the board really is the foundation of the organization. But the time commitment probably is going to increase over the years as the board becomes more engaged, a little more nimbler. We're probably going to have more meetings over the course of the year. Now that you've served on a committee or a council, you've maybe done a mission or two, and you're on the board of directors, you might be interested in running for president of ASC and or coming into one of the leadership positions. So what does it take to do that? So the criteria for any of the executive committee positions, committee whether it's a president, treasurer, or secretary, or representing the councils, is similar to the board. You have to be an ASC member. You have to be FASE. You have to be accomplished and recognized in your field. You don't have to have served on the board of directors, but you have to have had some leadership volunteer position in ASC. So you could have chaired or co-chaired one of the standing committees or the council. And if you're going to be go into the vice president ladder, so it's vice president, president-elect, president, and past president, so it's a four-year commitment. If you're going to go into the vice president ladder, meaning that you'll be president 3 years after that, you have to. That takes a substantial amount of time. It's estimated that approximately 30% of your time during your president year needs to be dedicated to this. So we want to make sure that your organization is on board with that, and would need a letter of support from your organization. The disclosures are similar, but a little the bar is a little bit higher for officers. So you're not accepting money from other organizations, from industry. You're not doing expert testimony or any of that, those type of things. And you're not serving in an executive position on another organization. The time commitment, as you can imagine, for the executive committee is everything that Carol mentioned in the board plus more, and actually quite a bit more. So the executive committee gets together every other week, essentially, by conference call, typically 90 minutes to 2 hours. So that's happening. And then you're going to some of the key meetings. So in addition to the board of directors meeting, you're going to IRT Industry Roundtable. You're going to some of the other key meetings that happen during the year or special events that we're putting on. You're taking part in a lot of offline things, reviewing guidelines, reviewing other material between this. And there's a number of different liaison activity that you do in it as an executive committee, going to certain committees or council meetings also. Again, similar to being a board member, good candidates for executive positions are people that have showed their commitment to the field of cardiovascular ultrasound professionally, both by what you've done and what you've accomplished. We want people that can deal with today but think about tomorrow and be strategic thinkers. And clearly that when you're an executive, you're representing the ASC. And especially if you're in that presidential ladder for that year that you're going to be president, you are the face on ASC. So you need to be comfortable doing that. So how do you actually get into this nomination process for the board of directors and for leadership? Well, let's walk you through it. And probably no one better to do that. Robin, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. So Robin Winnering is our CEO of ASC. And she's going to talk about the nomination process.
Hi, everybody. Yes, the ASC nomination process is actually a very well thought out process, and it does have established criteria. Mary Alice is the liaison to that, but I've been involved in it for a long time. And we get a lot of questions about how do I get nominated? I think the key thing is to actually ask a friend or a colleague to write a letter of nomination. So, you know, it's key to actually tell people that you're interested in doing this, and then ask your colleagues to write letters of support for your application. You can have up to 3 letters for board candidates or 5 letters for officer candidates. So think about who would be the best people that may be well known in the society that could speak to your qualifications, and ask them to do supporting letters. And then make sure you have an up-to-date CV or resume prepared. I think the key thing with the CV is that we get them sometimes and they don't have, they may be appropriate for work, but maybe they don't have everything that's current on there that would be related to ASC service. So that would be something like make sure that your when you got your FASC is on there, if you've served on, done presentations for ASC, or you've served as faculty, those types of things. It will help the people, the nominating committee reviewing it, to quickly figure out that those things have been fulfilled. And then once you're nominated, you'll be contacted by Mary Alice to complete a couple things, a candidate self-assessment survey. And this self-assessment survey is so that the nominating committee can kind of compare apples to apples on all the candidates. So it asks the same questions of everybody, kind of what your strengths are related to the cardiovascular community, whether you've had leadership positions, whether you've done philanthropic types of missions. It asks some questions about your personal style, and then it asks about area of practice. It's not very long, but it gives, like I said, some uniform kind of ranking system that the committee can look at. And then the second piece is that you'll want to develop a 1-to-2-page vision statement that includes, you know, why you're interested, what your expertise is, the areas of interest that you might have, and how your time will be made available to actually be able to serve either on the board or on the executive. So in other words, you know, how will you, you know, will your institution be supportive of you doing that? And the vision statement a lot of times is tied to, for instance, taking a look at the strategic plan that the organization has and saying how you could potentially help move those goals forward, or ideas that you have in terms of how to help the organization grow or flourish. And then the last piece is that it's a very form-based conflict of interest disclosure statement that conforms to the types of things that Carol and Neil went over related to your relationships to industry and those types of things. Okay, so who can write letters of support? Active members, so people who are actively paid up for the year, can nominate candidates, one candidate per open position. Letters of nomination and support should document, obviously, your leadership skills. Members of the executive committee are not able to nominate candidates to the executive committee level positions. We wanted to make sure that that's not kind of a self-selection process, that there are people out there who are also supportive. Membership, anybody from the membership can provide supporting letters for more than one candidate, but if you do that, each letter must illustrate differences in the candidate. So if you had 2 people that you were nominating for, say, the member-at-large position, you'd want to say, you know, what's different about them and what are their strengths. Sometimes that letter can take away the recommendation if it feels like the letters are too formulaic or a kind of a template. Then the nominating committee doesn't really know what to do with kind of weighting those 2 candidates. And then each candidate may only have 1 of his or her required letters of support coming from the member of the executive committee. So if you're going to pick somebody from the current executive group, make sure that you are picking somebody that can really speak to your skills and attributes. And then what are your responsibilities? they need the nominator that you ask to, or maybe they ask you if you'd like to serve. They have to submit a letter of nomination to ASC outlining your leadership skills, and they should send along your current CV, so you'd want to give that to them. And then they also can help solicit additional letters of support for their nomination. So your responsibilities would be that you would accept the nomination. So you'd get an email from Mary Alice saying, you know, you've been nominated to serve as the secretary. Would you like to accept this nomination? And you would need to say, yes, I do. You'd need to submit a copy of your current CV if the nominator didn't already do that. And you'd need to submit, as I said before, the one-page vision statement. And you'd also need to do that brief online self-assessment survey, and you'd need to complete the conflict of interest disclosure form. And if you don't have one on file for the year, you'd need to do it, or if the current form needs updating. We do it once a year. Everybody who serves on the board or in any executive position or even on our committees need to do them annually. Okay, now where would you submit it? All letters of nomination and support actually should be addressed to the chair of the nominating committee. That's actually Dr. Weissman, the past president. The nominating chair changes each year, and this year it's Dr. Weissman. But the mailed correspondence, if you send it that way, should be sent to the nominating committee at our address, which is in North Carolina. And all nominations, letters of support, your CV, the vision statement, et cetera, can all be emailed to Mary Alice, and that's her email. The deadline for submissions will be posted with a call for nominations. I think it was said before that it's going to be October 21st this year. It's going to be the deadline. It's usually the last week in October. So after the all the nominations come in, the nominating committee, which is composed of senior levels in the field, carefully reviews and discusses all the nominations on a set of conference calls. And usually these discussions take place in early November. And then they determine a slate. They come up with a slate. And those are recommended to the executive committee for approval in November. And then they're moved on to the full board of directors for vote at their November board meeting. This year it's November the 19th. And then the proposed slate is actually sent out to all the members for vote in May, and then those are done as online kind of ballots, and we go through those, and then if there hasn't been somebody that has had some sort of open election, then the new officers and directors are notified, and they take place in office immediately following our ASC annual business meeting in June. All members of the incoming board are actually invited to the that plenary business session to be acknowledged to the audience. And basically at that point, they have actually assumed their positions on the board of the executive committee. So as it has said before, the call for officers and directors is open this year, September 8th through October the 21st. So it's now open, and the call for volunteers or committees actually opens in November, and it stays open through the first week of January.
Great. Thank you, Robin. I think that what we attempted to do here was to show the different routes of getting involved, everything from your first time serving on a committee or a council or a mission to becoming the president of ASC. You could see there is a whole career of opportunities to volunteer here. It is us as members, as volunteers, that make ASC what it is. It really is. The more you do, the more you get back from it. This is the final slide, just emails for people if you have further questions. But we did get done a little bit early, so I do want to open it up for questions if people have questions now. We could take them just by taking your phone off mute and speaking up, or you could use the little chat function on the WebEx if you don't want to speak. So, again, we're going to open it to questions. And maybe just to prime it, I'm looking at who's on the list here. Sue Phillips, maybe I could call on you. So we'll reach over to my neighbors in Baltimore at Hopkins. And Sue is in a leadership position. Any comments or anything from your experience that you want to share with the group?
I would say first to network. So it's really a very friendly and inviting group of people. So I would first start networking, and then I'd find someone, a mentor. Mentor, I think, is very important in this organization. So reach out to that person. Ask them if they'd be willing to mentor you. You could do that if you can't see them in person, through emails. Just start communicating with different people.
Great. Questions?
I have one just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. The 2 years on the one slide where you showed how many people applied and how many positions were open, there was an appearance in 2 years. Like, it almost doubled the amount of people that applied.
Mm.
Is there a reason? I'm just curious. I think it was like 13 and 14 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mary Alice or Robin, do you recall if something was different in those years? Did we advertise more or do anything different in the process?
We didn't do anything differently. I don't know what the difference was.
Hi, this is Elizabeth McElwain. I can tell you from the council that those two particular years, the council leadership made a concerted effort to make sure that sonographers were aware of opportunities and how to apply for opportunities to volunteer.
And this is Carol, and I think that to echo what Elizabeth said, that, you know, we want sonographers to know these opportunities are available and how to apply through the website, and to remember to do it in that November to January time period.
And Elizabeth, since you're on the line, anything you want to add from your, I mean, you've been a very active leader in many regards at ASA, many positions. Anything you want to add?
First, thank you. I think this is an awesome, awesome webinar. And for someone who really had to find her own way, I am excited to see this Leadership Academy come on. But I would echo what Sue said, and that is to network, to volunteer, to go out and fill the form. And if you're not chosen 1 year, don't let that deter you to apply again. If you're put on a committee that maybe isn't exactly what you wanted, get in there and learn it and give it everything you have. You know, I started out in advocacy, and that certainly would not have been my first choice, but it was my foot in the door, and I ended up loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And spending a lot of time there.
Yeah.
So just to get in there, and I really do like the changes, and I like the fact that there is now something written that we can talk to sonographers, and I see a lot of names on this list that are people that I have encountered over my years that have been interested in getting involved, and so I hope that you will take these steps and this information. I just that's just start. That's
mm-hmm.
what I did. I just put my name out there, and somewhere along the way, I'm here. So.
I like, just do it, Nike, just start.
Just start.
Angela wrote in a question. If you apply for a committee and are not chosen, are you automatically on the list for micro-volunteering? And Hillary already responded with a yes.
Actually, that's me. Sorry,
oh.
Mary Alice.
your pseudonym, Hillary Lim. and
this is Robin. I think one of the things that came up, too, that, like Elizabeth was saying, you know, when we have the committee positions open and people apply online, you know, they get the choice of saying what my first priority is, second priority is, third priority. And probably in Elizabeth's case and maybe in many others, they might not have gotten their first or second or third choice. With FASCs, we usually every year we have more people apply for the positions than we actually have positions. And which is a wonderful thing, and we're so excited that so many people want to be involved. what we try to do is we always try to give people their priorities, but we will put them on a committee that has an opening if it feels like, you know, we could get them to a space where they could participate, and it may not be their first or second or third choice, although we do try to do that, but it may give them a place to just get started. And, you know, if you have good committee service, then, you know, you usually move on to other committees and do other things. You have a chance to get to know people and network. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of get in and get your feet wet and kind of see how it all works.
Joan wrote in, if you're a consultant, can you be on a committee? So Mary Alice or Robin, can you address that? And I think by consultant she's talking about if you're working for industry.
This is Mary Alice. Our current policy is that members who are employed full-time by industry are not eligible to serve on a standing committee or council.
They can serve on a task force, and they can be an ad hoc member for projects that committees and groups are doing. But one of the issues that we have is especially with we have a lot of sonographers and physicians who work for industry full-time. I think Marty McCullough would be a good example of that. She was passed on our exec committee, and now she's working full-time for Siemens. And what happens is if we have industry people work full-time on one of the committees and are placed on there, then the other industry folks that we have within our scope sometimes feel that they didn't get access to that. So there's that, and then there's also a potential conflict of interest. So the Bylaws and Ethics Committee and then the board approved a number of years ago that it could only be ad hoc or on task forces where those positions, the people brought unique skills.
Any other questions? With that, thank you all for taking time out of your busy Monday. We hope this is helpful. You've got some emails in front of you. Please use them. We're coming into the season to start volunteering for things. So look forward to working with you. I also would make myself available if anybody has questions for me. So enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
And thank you all. And this is Carol. And please feel free also to contact me or email me, and I'm happy to talk with anyone who's also interested in volunteering.
And this is Mary Alice. If you don't have those emails for Dr. Weissman or Carol, you can send them to me, and I can forward them for you.
Great. All right. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.